Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to So Sweet Speak at So Sweet Place. Today we're going to be having a discussion on how to discipline creatively to teach. And we will outline the topics that we will be discussing. And number one would be the sanctuary, seven commitments for safety. You want to promote a safe environment. That's first. And also an incentive of different levels for freedom so the children would want to work towards the seven commitments that you established with them in the beginning. Number two, now according to the authors of Understanding Creativity, they suggest that there are many components of creativity. Number three, we will discuss the personality traits. And number five, how to get through the distraction. And the reward is collaboration for change and growth. Now, in the beginning and before you start teaching, establish a commitment of the seven commitments for sanctuary. And this should be established to maintain safety, a safe environment, which include incentive to promote trust. Because if children do not trust you, they will not hear you. You don't have their attention. If they don't trust you, they won't respect you. And that is it in a nutshell. So once you establish the sanctuary model for discipline, which was created and produced by Dr. Sandra Bloom, you then would have established some guidelines for them to go by. Because children need things that are tangible, not things that are just pull out of the air from your head to suggest that this is the discipline measures that we're going to do here. You know, sometimes it could be, well, we don't chew our chewing gum in school. You never gave a time or when can you do it or what is behind it if you do it. There's a lot of things that is not really explained to the children as it should be. So therefore, sometimes it sends them into the other direction. And also, I want to start with the first commitment, which is the commitment to nonviolence. We, in order to practice safety, we have to have a nonviolent environment. There are some children who come to school from an environment that is totally violent. You know, you've got mama who's cursing or daddy who's cursing. Everybody's using foul language. The children have no guidance. So when things get so little, things could make a situation heated that turns into a crisis. The next thing, the second commitment, is to develop and maintain emotional intelligence for a better life, because sometimes children are so angry and they get it from their environment, because it can be a generational thing where mom is angry as well. You know, a dad is angry and they do things that suggest that they're angry. Well, children come out of that environment and they're equally as angry and they don't know how to process it. So they begin to do things that can hurt them in the long run. It can make their life worse. Like, for instance, a mother and a dad that's angry. Sometimes they're so angry that their children have to be removed from them because of it. And they don't understand because they never really got the chance to process it. Third is a commitment to social learning. Now, this is something that requires you to build. And you have to build your cognitive skill in order to be able to interject that into your class. Show them that there are ways of which you can really home in on those skills. I mean, it is a basic thing when you are deemed to be normal to have those skills. There are those who are handicapped that are working towards building it. But there are other components of cognitive, which is thinking and reading and understanding, in order to be able to come to tap into your creative mode, that you would have to get through the process of understanding what creativity is. The fourth commitment is to share governance to create a model for civic skills of self-control and self-discipline. You must begin to think of a safety plan for yourself when you feel yourself getting out of control and not able to be considerate of others once you are out of control. You are out of control where you can actually hurt people without touching them. You can trigger them. You can send them off on a tizzy. It can cause a cause and effect. It can cause a stack of negative actions that could take place because of yourself not being able to control and discipline yourself from the anger that you have. Fifth is open communication. It is necessary that we are able to express to one another how we're feeling and what is going on in our lives without fearing or distrusting one because they might do the wrong thing by the information that you give them. You see, first you have to establish the relationship, but a relationship is only established if you can have genuine conversation. If you can talk to each other without being superficial, and one can understand and see through those who have the facade and those who are being genuine in the topic of what is being discussed, and genuine in showing them that I really care about you. I really care. I love you enough to really work with you. Even in the times when they are doing this, when they're having a distractions or when they are misbehaving and showing uncontrollable character. So these are the times when you really let them know that I'm here for you no matter what. And believe it or not, there are many who will respond to that. They had a thing on television just the other day which really touched me, because it was this lady who, this guy had shot her son and killed him, and she went to the jail and told him that she forgave him. And she forgave him enough and told him that she loved him, which did something to him. It changed his whole life. And he began to understand what love is. Now, this is the man that killed this lady's son. At the same time, he grew to love her, so he got an apartment next door to her. And she took him on as the son that he took away. That is a story that is, when you talk about being disciplined from anger, I would have been so angry if it had been my son. I don't know how far I would have gone with that. But that is a true testimony to a person who is in control. The next one we are going to talk about, the next commitment, is six. Six is the social responsibility, building social connection skills, establishing a healthy attachment relationship. I work with children, and in the population that I work with, the relationship at home is unhealthy. So when they come out in the community, or when they are going, or when they are at a place for treatment, they tend to build unhealthy relationships. They grab on to something that they feel they could consider love, but not knowing whether it is or not. And in the long run, they keep getting hurt because a pattern starts to take place in their lives, because that's what they know. That's why it's so imperative that the children that I work with get treatment, and treatment where it is best to take them step by step by step to relationship building, rather than going around in circles and working on other things without getting to the main thing that continues to hurt this person. Now, that is there, but when we as student and teacher make that connection where we can show that you don't have to attach yourself to a person, but attach yourself to learning. Build relationship with your teacher enough to want to learn, or your teacher must really build one with you to really want to teach you. It's a mutual thing. So that's why social connection skills, can only be established by those who understand it and can teach it with trust and respect. And the last and seventh commitment is one that is the ultimate, and that is the one that we want to get to, which is growth and collaboration. And that is the purpose of this discussion, so that when the teachers teach, they don't have to stop to discipline someone who is out of order. When you show all seven commitments consistently, this is what you would tell the children, that they have to live up to the commitment that you established that first day. And when they show that they can consistently commit to everyone without being in violation of none, then you would give them a period of time of which you would start to trust them to do errands for you in your classroom, like perhaps take the book to the library, or perhaps go and to the copy machine and get some papers from the office. Whatever the errand may be, you will give them that incentive. Or if you're in a city school, you know, schools are different everywhere, and you want them to go across the street to get a treat for the students, for the other students, and you can see them, you can allow them to do that. You know, it depends on, again, the laws and the rules of the school and the policy of the school itself, whether you could do that or not. But these are some ideas of incentives to put in place when they follow the seven commitments that you and them establish. Now, most children want praise for their effort, and praises is one of the things that I see they do gravitate to. They feel proud that they have been able to accomplish things that you expect of them without getting into trouble, because some kids, it's very hard for them to do that. And it's hard for adults that is in direct service who might not have done this for so long to understand that. They look at discipline in a child, and if the child do not adhere to the consequences that is dealt to them, and they begin to act out, instead of wondering why, and really in a genuine manner, instead of extending the consequences, you would be better off if you just find out why. What's the need at that time? And how can you fulfill that need in order to move forward? That's one of the measures of discipline when you're looking at kids being unruly. But kids love to be praised. And when you praise them, they receive it and they accept it. You can incorporate the point, a token system, to be creative with it. Now, you got to be creative with the way you use that, because at one point, you can get like these discs, you know, like they have like chips. You can use chips, you can use pennies, you can use tokens. However you wish to do it, you can do it, but you can be creative about doing it. And again, it is if the educational system within your city, your town, your county allow things like this for your classroom. You'll have to find that out. Now, first questions, critical questions that need to be answered. First, ask yourself a few questions. What can you do to understand creativity? Question is, how can you tell if someone is creative? How can you tell if someone is creative? I believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. I bet you didn't expect that, did you? Did I get your attention? Now, how creative was that thinking? That's what being creative is. You're trying to get someone's attention. Here is a two-part question that we need to answer. And the first part of it is, did they have unusual childhood? That means, people who are creative have unusual childhood? But I can tell you that the first part of that answer, yes. Because in my childhood and my circumstances, I believe was unusual in me growing up in Harlem. As a child, I suffered with asthma. At least that is what they called it back then. I tried to hide the fact from my mother that I was wheezing and having a hard time breathing, because as soon as she noticed, I had to immediately stop playing with my sisters and our friends so my mother could lead me up to our apartment to leave me there alone and angry, envying my sisters and our friends outside playing. I was angry enough to destroy our home. But what stopped me was because of the consequences that was put in place. The consequences that had been established a long time ago. Now, my parents was no joke, especially my mother, when it came down to whipping your behind. I do not advocate corporal punishment, but that was done to me. And honey, let me tell you something. It hurt. And I didn't want that if I didn't have to have it. And I felt that if I destroyed the home, something worse than that could happen to me. And I certainly feared. I ran out of tears of crying of being up there by myself because there was no one to hear me, to listen to me. So one day I got this bright idea to turn on the television. I watched television and saw The Wizard of Oz. I thought at that time that movie was the most magnificent movie I have ever seen. And I remember the songs and the lines from it. And I would just get so excited just watching that. And one day I remembered that show the first time it came on. And the next time, I stood in front of the mirror and performed The Wizard of Oz. Of course, I was Dorothy because she sung Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I loved that song. That was a wonderful song. And after the creative side took charge, let me tell you something. I had no problem being alone. When my mother took me upstairs and I had no one to play with, I just went up there. And I used my imagination, and I was creative in my performance, and I just had a ball. So therefore, I was able to tap into my creative mode in order not to go crazy. So the answer to that was yes, but I was able to use something that God has given me. And part B is also yes. Did creative people, parents treat them differently than most parents treat their children? And that's yes, because growing up, everyone has different experience in the household. I wanted to be an actress. I had no support from my parents for that endeavor, but I did have their support to go to college, to be a teacher or a nurse. I made it to human service, though, and I have a Bachelor of Science degree in communication with the concentration of technology. See, unlike Igor Stravinsky, a composer and a singer and an actor from Russia, his parents were artists also, so they understood his desire to be an artist, and he had the support automatically. For others, they have no kind of guidance from home, no support. They have imaginations and they have dreams, but there's no one there to support it. So it all falls apart. Question three. How do we judge the creative quality of a product? Well, earlier in this speech, I showed you how I can get your attention. Did you think this idea can work for you? There is that in many ideas to suggest to you to work on to get children's attention. Like, for instance, if you are one that is kind of shy and you don't feel you have a voice and you think the kids are going to laugh at you rather than get their attention, then go over and flicker a light or something where they know that, you know, you mean business because you got their attention now. Or perhaps move something, do something out of the ordinary that is not the norm, and you'll have their attention. And once you get their attention, then it's time to teach. So so far, do you understand what creativity is? Are you getting the picture? Do you know what it looks like? Can you tell if someone is creative? See, it does not take a genius to be creative, but there are many components of creativity. I will not look towards the anatomy of the brain as being one of the components, but I am going to look at the biological, the psychological, and social elements that contribute to creativity. The biological elements range from roles our genes play in development of adult health issues, and the psychological element includes all aspects of cognitive and personality development. And the social element involves influences of family, school, peer, culture. I am shortening the terms to make it all one word, which is biopsychosocial. The components and its variables play a large part of being creative. It can be determined by genes, ethnicity, learning and cognition, problem solving, motivation, attitude and belief, personal trait, invitation, affiliation, group dynamics, and skills and leadership. I agree with the premise that all of human nature is created through genetic and environmental processes. Nature versus nurturing. The biopsychosocial can have huge impact on a child positively or negatively. Example of both positive and negative can be described in this scenario. Put yourself in a classroom with students that are distracted by one of their peers. And a peer who is very negative have been truant from school and was caught with friends smoking weed. The teachers have access to each student's records that the environmental structure of which he comes from has not provided this child with all his basic needs. And as a caring teacher, without issues of his or her own, can talk to the child. And if the child is open for communication, this is an opportunity to build a relationship by listening to hear when the child reveals what is going on with him or her. This will refocus the child because he or she has a new respect for you because you listen. You successfully eliminated the main distractor. His peers have a new respect for you. The environment structure is not providing this child with what he needs. As a caring teacher without issues of his or her own can talk to the child if the child is open to communicating with them. Okay, this is an opportunity now to build a relationship by listening and to what the child is telling you. And you can hear it in the words that the child uses. You can hear it if you know this child. If you already build a relationship with this child, you'll understand some of where the child is coming from. But if you don't have a relationship and you're just there for the money, then you won't understand half of what the child is telling you. All you know is that the child have a discipline problem and that someone has to intervene other than you. You know, this is where you have several things that we've seen on television where they call in the security guard who has no idea what this child is going through and come and drag the child out in a violent way. By you doing this or showing the child that you care, the child's peers are looking at you. And when you remove the main character who is distracting, then you begin to get the respect of the others. They begin to look at you. And then you'll have your classroom back and you'll be able to teach rather than discipline. You see, studies have shown that schools with a more creative approach to learning make children interested in learning the lesson, especially if you collaborate your lesson with what they can relate to. They will be less distractions from learning because they are listening to something they can relate to. This includes teenagers. Teenagers are also highly imaginative and motivated to learn, as well as the young children, middle school, kindergarten on, elementary school. There are teachers who are teaching for more than just money. They are teaching children because it is a passion. These are the teachers who will become creative enough to be innovative with the confines of the laws and policy of the educational system. In my 31 years of working with children and raising a few of my own, my experience of trial and errors have taught me a creative way to discipline through self-commitment for growth and change. I do this because I believe that children are our future, and I want to teach them well so that they can lead the way. Thank you for listening.
I need